Blog Talk Radio.
Sisters in the Lord, we're going to get right into the Word today because there are so many dynamic principles I'd like to cover. Last week we talked about the importance of the words that we speak. I'd like to continue that theme because I believe it is vital if you want to see change in your life to begin to change the words you speak. The Bible speaks of the significance of words hundreds of times, most notably in Proverbs 18:21, which tells us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. In John 6:36, Jesus tells us that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hebrews 11:3 tells us that by faith we know that the worlds were created by the word of God. If God spoke a universe into existence with his words, what kind of universe can we create for ourselves once we master controlling the words we speak? Imagine how different your life can be when you begin to change your vocabulary. Let's study some principles from Charles Capp's book, The Tongue, A Creative Force, and it starts. First of all, I want you to know that every faith principle, every spiritual law that God set forth in his word was for your benefit. It was designed to put you over in life. In the beginning of the book, in the first chapter, he writes, God's word that is conceived in your heart, then formed by the tongue and spoken out of your own mouth, becomes a spiritual force, releasing the ability of God within you. Further in the chapter, he states that the spirit world is controlled by the word of God. The natural world is to be controlled by man speaking God's words. The spoken word of God is creative power. And he continues that man was created in the image of God and his likeness. There was creative power that flowed out of the mouth of God, and you were created in the image of God. Then according to the scriptures and what Jesus said, you have the same ability dwelling or residing on the inside of you. Now, when I was studying the power of words for my thesis project in school, there was one verse in the Bible which had the most influence and life-altering effect for me, and that is Matthew 12:36, and it reads, But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. If you break that verse down, what it is saying is that when we stand before the judgment seat of God, we're going to have to explain why we spoke meaningless and powerless words, ineffective and non-creative words that produce nothing. Based on what we just heard, do you think cursing or using vulgarity would be considered idle words? Is gossiping about another person idle chit-chat? What about talking off the cuff of your head or just joking around? Would that be considered idle words? Yes, I think all of the above is indicative of idle words being spoken. Therefore, it is up to each and every one of us to let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable to God. I challenge you to study this verse. Study the word idle, and you should get a better understanding of the importance of the words that come from your mouth. Once I began deciphering that statement, it had such a profound impact on my life. I became very mindful about what I spoke. My life changed in so many ways, including refraining from gossiping, joking, and jive talking. I was never much of a person who cursed, but I became less tolerant of people who did in my presence. I also did not participate when people were telling dirty jokes. When they got started, I just walked away. I didn't want to hear certain things anymore, including negative news broadcasts, certain television programs, music, and the like. Once I came into the realization of the effect that words have on my life, I made a deliberate and conscious effort to adjust my life accordingly. God spoke the universe we live in into existence. How insulting it must be for God, who put creative power into words and who is also the master creator, to know that we speak so haphazardly about the life he has given us. God must cringe when he hears some of the words that come out of our mouth, especially those of us who call ourselves Christians. I know I cringe when I hear saved women cursing and sounding worse than sailors, or when I hear a Christian mother berating her own child, cursing at it and calling it everything but the child of God. Of all of God's creation, he gave human beings the ability to communicate with words. He placed such a high value on words and us being created in his image, I wonder how disappointed he must be that we waste precious words because we don't realize the creative force behind what we speak. But then again, as we read earlier, he did say, we will have some explaining to do. John 14:12 tells us that greater works than what Christ did, we shall do also. Most of Christ's ministry was speaking the word of God. He kept the word of God in his mouth. He spoke the word to bring about manifestations of healing, deliverance, etc. into people's lives. Again, from Charles Capp's book, it states, when you study the life of Jesus, you find several important facts that caused him to overcome the world and the flesh. One, he spent much time in prayer, but he never prayed the problem, he prayed the answer. Two, he spoke accurately, never crooked speech. Three, he always spoke the end results, not the problem. Never did he confess present circumstances. He spoke desired results. Number four, he used the written words to defeat Satan. And five, Jesus always spoke directly to the problem. What I want to emphasize in this lesson is that when you begin to confess the word of God over your life or your circumstances and or your family, change is inevitable. If you just find one scripture and stand on it until your victory is manifested, your faith will increase. Now, when you're standing on that scripture for your change, your daily conversations must line up also. You can't believe by his stripes you are healed, and then while talking to whomever, you begin complaining about your ailment. If you do, then you have just nullified the word you said you believed. Instead, whenever you're tempted to speak of ill health, keep your mouth closed and silently begin reciting your healing scriptures. Then when you build yourself up, start confessing the verse out loud whenever you get the urge to complain. Remember, 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Another translated message interpreted that verse as follows. We use our powerful guard tools, which is the word of God, for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. So basically, what this verse is telling us is that whenever we get a thought that is contrary to what we believe, we ought to immediately recognize it and turn it around by thinking about or speaking our desired results based on the word of God. I'm not going to have you think this will be an easy process because it's not, but the more you practice, the better you will become at it. The key here is to practice and keep at it until it becomes second nature for you. Change is never quick or easy, but persistence definitely pays off in the long run. There are no quick fixes for our lives when it took us years to get into the predicaments we're in. So I want to encourage you to stick with it and don't quit no matter what. If you are serious about changing your life, then you are most definitely worth the effort. I'm reminded of a poem I heard some time ago. I don't know who the author of it is, but the poem is called Don't Quit. And it goes something like this. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learn, and many a failure turns about when he might have won, heck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow, you might succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often a struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup, and he learned too late when a knight slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. As you never can tell how close you are, it may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. I'd like to take these last few minutes to invite into the kingdom of God those who don't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9 tells us that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you will right now make that confession that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God did raise him from the dead, then you are saved. And I want to be the first person to welcome you into the kingdom of God. You are now a child of a king. If you've made that confession, I'd like to hear from you and give you a love gift. So call or email me today. Thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio's In the Spirit. This is your host, Tafway, coming to you from Durham, North Carolina, on today, Saturday, July 19th, as I do every Saturday at this time. The first portion of this broadcast was pre-recorded, and it aired on KTYM radio station in Inglewood, California. Before I end the broadcast today, I'd like to leave you with this thought. We've got to practice the Word of God every day and drink it like we never have before, especially in these dire times we live in. If we're not standing on God's Word, then we're too full of the noises and words of today's civilization in the form of television, music, just plain old gossip, and being too busy with our day-to-day activities. We are too busy listening to the words of this world and not giving heed to the words of God all the time. The more of the world's noises we listen to, the less of God's word remain in us, like pouring water into an empty glass. But is the glass really empty? No, it's filled with air until you put something in it. In this case, we are the empty glasses filled with air, which is the world's noises. And when we pour in the Word of God, more and more of the air is dispelled from us. Sometimes we pour in a little bit and let the glass sit. So what happens? The water begins to evaporate if we don't put more water in the glass. We have to make a concerted effort every day to drink some of the Word of God in the form of studying the Bible, listening to spiritual music, audio tapes of church services, speakers, etc., even journaling from a spiritual perspective. As long as we spend some time each day, preferably several times throughout the 24-hour period, in the Word to gain an understanding of who God is and what He wants for our lives. So remember, stay in the Word of God. The Bible that you have is your personal and basic instructions before leaving earth. It's your owner's manual, and it comes with the manufacturer's guarantee that if you follow the instructions, you will be on your way to victorious living in every area of your life. Stay blessed, my sisters and brothers in the Lord, and I look forward to coming to you live next week on Blog Talk Radio's In the Spirit.